morning, church. Happy Sabbath. Thank you so much for the surprise. And not only for the pastor's month, but also for the birthdays, for the care, for the love. It's not about the gift. It's about being remembered and being loved. So we appreciate our church for everything. And for Vanessa and I, for our family, it's a blessing. To be the church. So when we came as two, and now we are four. So, and we are blessed by that too. So our message today is a Thanksgiving message. Last week we started a new series, but we are taking a break today. And then we are going to continue the series next week. But our message today is for us to celebrate Thanksgiving as a special day for us to remember all the blessings that God has given us. And our verse for today comes from Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 10, through 19. And before we read, I'd like to invite you to pray once again. Father, as we open your word, we ask you to open our minds and hearts. Speak to us, Father, this morning. And help us as we learn from you to be thankful, to recognize the many blessings that we have received from you, and above all, your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. And here the Bible says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village," so this is talking about Jesus, "there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lift up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" So many of us are familiar with the traditional story of Thanksgiving in the U.S., where William Bradford of Plymouth Rock proclaimed the day of Thanksgiving to celebrate the survival of the pilgrims in the second year of the New World, as well as the abundant harvest that they had that day, that year. However, many people don't remember that the first Thanksgiving did not occur in 1921. All right, working better. So continuing, many people don't remember that the first Thanksgiving actually did not occur in 1621, but it happened 11 years earlier, and it was not a feast. The winter of 1610 at Jamestown, Virginia, had reduced a group of 409 people to 60. So, and the survivors, they were praying for help, without knowing when or how it might come. And when the help arrived in the form of sheep filled with food from England, a prayer meeting was held to give thanks to God. And maybe we would think, well, why would they be thankful if they saw many of their relatives and friends and loved ones die of hardship in the new world? But the truth is that they had many reasons to be thankful, even in that situation. And they realized that. They understood that. And we ourselves, we often don't realize how blessed we are or how thankful we ought to be until what we have is threatened to be taken away. So it is good and fitting for us as Christians to have a special day to celebrate Thanksgiving. But at the same time, we need to remember that Thanksgiving is something that we need to do every day of our lives. Every day there is something to be thankful for. Every day God has provided what we need. Every day God has blessed us with more than we deserve. And perhaps we need to reason that ingratitude may be the source of all, or at least many of our faults as well. So when we begin to take for granted what God has done for us, and then we are filled with pride, and then we can no longer, God can no longer use us. So for a Christian, every day must be a day of thanksgiving. Every day. So here in this passage of the Bible, we have a story. 10 lepers who met Jesus and had their lives changed forever. So when we break this story, when you see the details, we see that this story is actually describing every Christian. So just like the lepers, we were outcast from the kingdom of God, on our way to certain death, eternal death. But then we had a life-changing encounter with Jesus that everything. Why we should never look back on the pleasures of our past life. We should never forget where the Lord has brought us from. So, and that's why Isaiah chapter 51 verse 1 says, listen to me, you who follow the right after righteousness, who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hauled, and to the hole of peat from which you dug from. So what is the Bible saying in this verse? So the Bible here is saying, look at where God has brought you from. Remember what God has done for you in the past. Visit again in your mind the place where you first met God and His grace and His love and His mercy. And however, what is so significant about those lepers who were healed here is that we see here 10 lepers. And only one returned to give thanks to Jesus. 1 out of 10. 10%. So there were 9 who did not take the time to say thank you. So, and if we infer that the truth of this story on general humanity, we could say that 9 of 10 people in this world, they don't pause, they don't stop to give thanks to God. So we could suggest here that they had many reasons to do that. So maybe the excitement of being healed, the expectation of seeing the family, or being reunited with the children. So I would like you just to imagine the different reasons that they had in their minds, as we have in our human nature. Maybe one waited to see if the cure was real. The other one waited to see if you'd last. One said that you'd see Jesus later to thank him later. One decided that he had never had leprosy. One said that he would have gotten well anyways. One gave glory to the priests. And one said, well, Jesus didn't really do anything for me. And the other said, any rabbi could have done it. And the other one said, I was already much improved. And then there was one who didn't have any excuse not to come back. And he returned. And he gave God his gratitude. And I want to share with you this morning several truths from this passage that I hope may cause you to truly be thankful in this season, but every day, for everything that God has done for you and for your life. And the first thing that we see in this verse, I believe it is important for us to notice, is the leper's condition. So most of us have heard about leprosy in the biblical times. So it was a horrible disease, not only because of the pain, not only because of the physical problems, but also because of the stigma that went with having the disease. According to the Mosaic Law, pronounced a leper being unclean. Unclean. So they were not fit to enter the temple, the tabernacle, to worship God. They could not go to a place like that. They could no longer be with their families, live with their families. But the law required from them to live outside the city, according to Numbers chapter 5, verse 2 and verse 3. So the law required them to also to rend their clothes as a sign of sorrow, so that their faces would be covered. And they, every time that someone was coming closer to them, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean, so the people could go away. So people could not come closer to them. They had their face hidden, covered, representing that no form of intimacy could be known to them. So in the Hebrew tradition, in the Hebrew culture, the face was seen as the being the most intimate part of the body. So you could not only truly know someone until you could see their face. So that's why when the Jews were commanded to seek God's face, they were commanded to seek his presence, to have intimacy with him. And because for the same word that we have for face in Hebrew, is the same word as for presence. So there was no intimacy. There was no relationships. So to be a leper meant no intimacy with anyone, no friendship with anyone. You were also isolated and total outcast. So leprosy was regarded a disease which the Jews supposed to be inflicted as the punishment of a particular sin. So that was the understanding of the time. And to be more than other diseases, a mark of God's displeasure. So if you were a leper, you essentially lost everything. So your family, your job, your money, you had nothing left in this world. So you had to live outside. And the only people that you could have any kind of closeness was other people with the same problem, with leper. So, and note that verse 12 describes those lepers as standing afar off. So rabbinic tradition says that they had to stand at least 10 paces from anyone else. They could not even come closer to Jesus. So the reason I have spent this time describing leprosy this morning, it's because leper is a picture of sin. Leprosy is a picture of sin. And what Satan wishes to do to every person in this world. So, and there is a dictionary, Eaton's Bible Dictionary, that says leprosy was the outward and visible sign of the innermost spiritual corruption, a meat emblem of its small beginnings, its gradual spread, its internal disfigurement, its dissolution little by little of the whole body, of that which corrupts, degrades, and defiles man's inner nature, and renders him unmeet to enter the presence of a pure and holy God. So I don't want to equate leprosy with sin, but there are many similarities for us here to learn. Like leper, we too were isolated from true intimacy with God. Like the leper, we too were outcast from the kingdom of God. Like the leper, we too were in the process of losing everything to sin. And like the leper, we were too being destroyed by that which was in our bodies, our own sinful nature. So there was nothing that those lepers could do for themselves. They were completely lost, because there was not a problem that was happening around them. It was something that was happening in them. And there was no cure. There was nothing that they could do. And then verse 13 continues here. And this is the second part that we see, the leper's cry. So in verse 13 says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us.' And that was all that they could do. They could not even come closer to Jesus. No physicians could heal them. No medicine could cure them. They were completely helpless before this deadly disease." So, and we like to think that we are sufficient, that we are capable of handling life. But the truth is that we are born helpless into this world, just like those men. And we are helpless to stand before sin. We're helpless before the enemy. We stand condemned by sin. We're totally helpless. And that's how the Bible says that we are. But there is hope. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, "For when we were still without strength," and in other words, this could be translated helpless, "when we're still helpless, in due time Christ died for whom? For the ungodly." He didn't come just for those who were willing, were going to be willing to accept him, for the godly, for the good people. It says here that when we were, everyone, helpless, there was no cure for the sin problem. It says here that Christ died for the ungodly, which includes each one of us in this world. So, and all that they could do was cry out, saying, "Lord Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And the word mercy here means compassion. And sometimes, some people get confused with the word grace and mercy. But they have a lot of differences. And one main reason between grace and mercy is that grace is getting what you do not deserve. So grace is getting what you do not deserve. But mercy is not getting what you deserve. And they understood, as in their culture, having leprosy was a sign of God's displeasure. That was their understanding, that there was sin in their lives, and they understood that there was nothing that they could do in that situation with that disease. And they were saying, Jesus, give us, please, something that we do not deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. So they are begging. They are begging the Lord to have compassion on them, to help them in their time of need. And their only hope was placed on Jesus. So everything has come down to that moment. Every moment of their lives has come down to that single moment that they were afar off, crying out to Jesus as Jesus was passing through, saying, Jesus, have mercy on us. This encounter with Jesus. Aren't you glad that when you your only hope is placed on Jesus, that he will be more than enough? Jesus is more than enough. And that the Bible says here that Jesus had compassion on them. Jesus had compassion on them and told them to go and present themselves to the priests, as the law commanded. So the priests would inspect them and give them a clean bill of health so that they could rejoin the communities, the society, their families, according to Leviticus chapter 14, verse 2. And I was wondering, why did Jesus tell them this? That they go and show themselves to the priest. So Jesus could have just said, be healed, but he didn't. And I think that there are some reasons. I'd like to highlight two, and the second one is the most important for me, in my understanding. The first reason that Jesus told them to go to the priests is because they had to come back to society. Jesus was not only healing then physically, but also socially, emotionally. So without the priest's approval, they could not rejoin their families. So Jesus telling them to go to the priest was really important for them to have the opportunity to go back to their families. But the second reason, and that is probably more important, is because faith is always required of the helpless. Remember the story of Naaman, the Syrian. So they went to Israel with leprosy, like looking for healing. And the prophet told him to go to the Jordan River and submerge himself 7 times. Why did he do that? Because he had to believe. And at that time, he was not believing yet. And in Matthew chapter 8, we are told of a story of a leper who came to Jesus and confessed faith on Jesus. And that's why Jesus healed him on that moment, touching him. So they went, and those 10, they went on by faith. As they did, they were healed. It says, as they went on, they were healed. They heard the word of Jesus, they believed, and then they were healed. That was faith. And they were not healed first, and then they told to go to the priests. They had to act on faith. And that's the only way that we can be saved from sin. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. And that takes us to the third part of this message, which is the leper celebration. So we are told here that as they began their journey to the priests, as Jesus commanded, they were healed. And what is significant here is that 1 out of 10, just 1 out of 10, reacted differently from the rest. The Bible says that he saw that he was healed, and he turned back. And he glorified God, And he came back to Jesus and gave him thanks. So why did he react differently from the others? And here is the main point of this message. So we have here 3 points that may make this man different from the others. So, and this is what I want to apply today for our lives. And the first one is the perception of gratitude. Perception of gratitude. And we see here in verse 15, the first verse, the first sentence, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed. And I want to highlight here the word saw. The other ones, they also knew that they were healed. But there was something different about this man here. So the word here used in Greek for know also means perceive, see, with the idea of taking the time to notice. So that man noticed, he took the time to notice that he had been blessed, that he was healed. He realized that something happened to him. He was sensitive to the power of Christ working in his life. So his perception had entirely changed. And I think that's the first and very important point that we need to understand about gratitude. It's about perception. When we take the time to see, to perceive, to reflect on God's blessings, we are going to see that we've been blessed more than we deserve. But we need to take the time. So there is an old Jewish story that illustrates this point. There was a man, he went to the rabbi complaining, "Life is unbearable. Life is miserable. So we live, 9 of us, in this same room. We don't have space for anything. So what do you recommend, Rabbi?" And the rabbi told him, "Well, take your goat with you and bring him to the room." So, and that man did not understand, but the rabbi said, "So keep the goat with you and with the other 8 people in the same room for 1 week. And then you come back next week." A week later, that man came back. And that man was even more distressed. And he said, "That goat is filthy. So it's unbearable to be in that place with that goat. So I cannot bear that anymore." And then the rabbi told him, "Okay, now you go home and take the goat out. And then you come back in 1 week." And then the man did that. And 1 week later, that man came back to speak with the rabbi, and he said, "Oh, life is so beautiful. I don't have to have that goat in my room anymore. It's just the 9 of us now." So it was the same situation. So nothing changed to begin with. But the perception has changed. So, and do you really perceive the way that God has blessed you? So none of us here are hungry. None of us here is naked. And most importantly, as Christians, we have been given everything through Jesus Christ. So can you think of more blessings than that in our lives? We have everything that we need, not only for this life in this world, but for eternal life in Jesus Christ. We might not have all the material things that we want here, but we have more than enough. And we have more than enough in Jesus Christ for eternal life as well. So, and the devil will do his best to keep us, to keep our mind off the blessings of God. So the battle is happening in our minds. He will constantly tell you how bad you have it. Or he's going to tell you so that everything is wrong in your life. And you see, it's when you begin to realize how much you have in the Lord that you truly start to be thankful. And when you are thankful, your heart will abound with love for the Lord that has so graciously given all to you. So it's a perception. And with all those things in mind, we can conclude that an unthankful Christian is a defeated Christian. An unthankful Christian is a defeated Christian, because he or she has lost their joy. So, and this is the first point, the perception of gratitude. The second one is the priority of gratitude. So when that man, we see this also in verse 15, continuing here the verse that says, and when one of them saw, he understood, he perceived that he was healed, he returned. He came back. He turned around. Now the Lord had given them, those 10 men, the command to go to the priests. But that man delayed. He turned back, and he went back to the Lord, to Jesus. Why didn't Jesus rebuke him for this? Since Jesus had commanded them to go to the priests. The reason is because this man realized the priority of gratitude and worship. He understood that the blessings that he had received came from Jesus, and that he had a priority to go back to him first with his thanksgiving. So God has called his church to give glory to him above everything else. I believe that this man fully intended to obey Jesus and go to the priest. But he realized that he had a higher calling that must come first. And if you don't give God thanks, so it's not going to take very long. Your obedience is going just to become a job to do. Not a pleasure out of thanksgiving, but out of obligation. You lose the meaning of what God is wanting you to do. So you become unthankful over time. So it is fitting and it is proper for us to give thanks, worship, and praises to God for everything that he has done in our lives. And the last point here, so we have the perception of gratitude, the priority of gratitude, and finally we have the perfection of gratitude. So as he drew near to Jesus, the Bible says here, it's still in verse 15, that he came back and with a loud voice, he glorified God. So the word here means that he made the Lord glorious, that he manifested the worth of the Lord. So he came to Jesus and fell down before him in perfect submission, surrendering everything to Jesus and giving him thanks. And the Lord asked the question, and we continue the reading here in verse 17 through 19. Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this man, this foreigner? For he said to him, Christ, go. Your faith has made you whole. And I wonder, we have all the 10 that were healed. But then we have this man here that Jesus said that he was made whole. So what is the difference between being healed and now being made whole. So I think there is more here than just physical healing. Maybe those nine, they had the opportunity to be healed physically. And now they are going to be a rejoined society. They were going to be healed socially. But being whole means more than this kind of healing. It means a relationship, a spiritual healing as well. And that was the only man who received that blessing because he came back. So this was something that the others did not receive. There is one scholar that said that a new power was given to him that day. So he had faith, not only to be healed, but also have faith to follow Jesus. So I think that everyone in this world, like, has been blessed by God. But only those who come back are blessed to become followers of Jesus Christ. So this man's thankful heart responded in faith, and he was perfected as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So, and I think that if we remember those three points, not only in this season, but in our lives, just like that man, maybe our lives are going to be different. Our perception. Try to see things differently. Even when you don't understand the trials. It might be a blessing in disguise. Stop. See, perceive that all those things that God has done for you. And when you do that, it's going to be natural for us to stop and come back to give glory to Jesus. And when you do that, just like that man, we are going to receive much more than just what we need for our physical lives, for our social lives, for our emotional lives, but we are going to have a relationship with the Savior. So my prayer for each one of us here and each one of us watching our service today is that we may become like that man that stopped everything and he perceived the blessings of God in his life. So, let's be thankful. Let's recognize the blessings of God in our lives today and every day. So we have, before we pray, I would like just to read a special prayer request here for baby Izzy Romero. So let's pray for David and Missy's daughter. So she is sick, and her situation got worse today. So as we close our service, as we pray together here, and as you pray at home, so let's remember Izzy, not only as we pray here, but also as we pray whatever we are. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. Sometimes as those 10 men who we don't know how long they were in that situation, we might not see why we should thank you. So we are not able to see your grace, your mercy, and your love in our lives. And we thank you for this story because here we see this man that just stopped everything. And he recognized, he perceived that he had been blessed. That he received something that he did not deserve. And that not only that he did not receive something that he deserved. Father, we are in the same situation in this world as sinful human beings. We have been blessed by your grace, by the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. But we also have been blessed in many different ways, in physically, with material things, with our family. You have provided everything that we need. Help us, Father, not to wait until tomorrow to be thankful. Help us to see the blessings that we have received today. So be with our church, Father. Help us to be faithful until the day that we see Jesus. And Father, we also want to take this moment to pray for baby Izzy Romero. I imagine how difficult this moment is for the family, for David, for Missy, for the grandparents, for the entire family. And I ask that your Holy Spirit may give them comfort, may guide them, and you may bring healing for Izzy. So bless us, Father, and bless each one of us, our families. So we thank you, and we ask all those things in Jesus' name. Amen.